the analysis of the notes with Lucas and Clara from El Comercio from Ecuador.
Okay, welcome. Today we're doing a deep dive into the sources around the immediate, really violent challenges to that fragile Gaza peace pact.
The one Egypt just mediated.
Exactly. Our mission is to sort of unpack how this truce got tested so fast and, you know, where that first big crack appeared.
And it really started with a bang, didn't it?
It did. A high-stakes threat from Donald Trump published on Truth Social. That was Thursday, October 16th, 2025.
Yeah, using Truth Social for something that critical, geopolitically speaking, it just shows how fast this whole thing was moving.
Right.
And the message itself, it was totally unambiguous. Trump warned Hamas, the Islamist group, that if they, quote, continue assassinating people in Gaza.
Which he specifically said wasn't part of the deal.
Precisely. He said the U.S. would have, and this is another quote, no more option than to enter and kill them.
Wow. Okay, so that's a U.S. red line, just drawn instantly online.
Yeah.
That really ramps things up from, you know, tense diplomacy to the edge of military action.
Absolutely.
But what specifically triggered a threat like that? What was happening on the ground?
Well, the sources point to summary executions, horrific ones.
Executions.
Yes. There were videos circulating, apparently showing these executions right after Israeli troops pulled back from half the territory.
So at the very start of the ceasefire.
Right at the start, Hamas moved into Gaza City and started executing people they accused of collaborating with Israel.
Okay. And the video suggests this wasn't hidden. It was almost performative.
It seems that way. Like a deliberate, very violent attempt by Hamas to reassert control through fear right as the truce began.
That's an incredibly serious violation.
Yeah.
EFE reported that Hamas militias mobilized quickly, you know, to resume control, carrying out these killings.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned something interesting before. This didn't just worry the international community. It actually caused clashes inside Gaza.
Exactly. Clashes with other local armed groups. That's where the fragility really shows.
So this internal violence, does it suggest maybe the U.S. was caught off guard? That Hamas was more focused on its own power grabs than the truce itself?
I think that's a key insight here, yeah. The truce wasn't initially broken by, say, a rocket fired across the border.
Right.
It was this internal collapse. Hamas's actions immediately showed they weren't or couldn't provide stable governance under the deal.
And these clashes were with who? Other factions.
Yeah, possibly groups like Islamic Jihad, maybe powerful local clans. Anyone else trying to fill that power vacuum left by the Israeli pullback and the supposed ceasefire, it really forced the U.S. hand.
Which makes the speed of the U.S. diplomatic reaction quite fascinating. Trump's declaration that he will not allow Hamas to violate the peace pact got immediate official backing.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't just him saying it.
No, the top military brass weighed in, too.
Yeah.
Admiral Brad Cooper, head of U.S. Central Command CENTCOM, he also called for immediate de-escalation.
Right, and Cooper communicated those concerns directly to the mediators back in Egypt. CENTCOM, you know, being the command responsible for that whole region.
Mm-hmm. They issued very specific demands. Cooper told Hamas, first, to immediately stop the violence and shooting against innocent Palestinian civilians in Gaza.
Notice the focus there, internal safety. Not external attacks.
Exactly. And he mentioned both Hamas-controlled areas and those under IDF protection, behind what's called the Yellow Line.
Okay, let's put a pin in that, the Yellow Line. What's the significance of CENTCOM calling out that specific boundary?
Well, the Yellow Line is essentially a military demarcation zone, kind of a buffer that had been set up.
Right.
Cooper demanding safety even behind that line suggests Hamas's internal violence was spilling over or threatening areas meant to be stabilized, even those with existing military protection zones.
I see.
But the really big demand, the strategic one, was when Cooper told Hamas to seize the historic opportunity by disarming without delay.
Disarming without delay.
Yeah. That phrase takes it way beyond just stop shooting. It's a call for full demilitarization.
Okay, so let's synthesize this for everyone listening. The sources are really painting a picture of just immediate, intense stress on this whole system.
Mm-hmm.
You have this major diplomatic deal brokered by Egypt, basically tested to destruction almost instantly by internal executions, factional fighting.
And then this very explicit threat of U.S. military intervention, all based on what was seen happening right there, right then.
Yeah.
And connecting it all, the core issue really boils down to trying to enforce a truce while Hamas was, it seems, prioritizing regaining local control through violence.
Their attempt to kind of impose order through assassinations was immediately flagged as being totally outside the agreement.
Which meant the peace pact basically never got off the ground. It didn't have a chance to breathe.
So this leaves us with a pretty fundamental question for you to think about. Given that the violation here was all about internal violence executions, factional clashes happening after the truce started, does the very presence of armed groups operating outside the terms of a ceasefire just fundamentally doom the whole idea of peace from the get-go?
It's a tough question.
Definitely something to mull over. If you enjoyed this deep dive into the sources, please do subscribe and share it. We really appreciate it.
Comment, subscribe, and share. More information at www.commerce.com.